Welcome to the City of Tukwila Finance and Government Committee for July 25th. We have one business agenda item, which is the citywide facility overview and seismic update.
Thank you. There also might be a second item that your finance director would like to walk on around inflation. If there's time in the agenda, Chair. So thank you all. This is one council member said, a very thick packet. It's really because of the material that we wanted to provide you. We wanted to give you the full seismic report. And this is meant to be an iterative, it's a collaborative conversation about where we have been with facilities and how do we go forward on our future facilities. This memo is meant to encapsulate a lot of information, so I don't want to spend too much time on it, but just going to go quickly through it. Is it talks about really, I think in the last 10, 15 years, a lot of this started with the council's direction, with a seismic plan that we did in 2008. What's included is the updated 2022 seismic plan. And then we had the facility planning, and I know two council members in this meeting were very actively involved in that. It got to council and adopted at the end of 2015. And that really led to the public safety plan document that was approved by the council in 2016, and then led to the public safety bond successful vote and all those facilities that have been built since. Where we are right now, starting on page, make sure I get the right pages. Starting on page 3, we start going through each of the buildings that we own as the city. Some people don't realize we own several buildings and where the prior council direction was on each of those buildings. So we can go through each of those and what we know about the seismic. But let me kind of go through the memo and I'll take the council's direction where you would like to bring this conversation. So we go through each of the buildings, the year they are built, what we have direction, the last council direction that we have, and then where we are looking at current facility planning is in our major maintenance. We do have some planned improvements for City Hall for siding and painting. If anyone's been on our south side of City Hall, that's necessary. We also have HVAC updates that we'll need to do the TCC. We have some grants that we're applying for, federal grants that we're doing that. And the two big projects, Public Works, you all have been actively involved these last few months in the committee and in the committee as a whole, of looking at the public works phase 2. That's going to be brought back to you in August as we've done the request for qualifications to see where you would like to move forward on that. And then the teen and senior center, you've had lots of updates at the end of last year and the beginning of this year of where you want to go with that. Those are the kind of current plans. There are some recommendations that we provide as staff to begin the conversation was looking at all these different things and all the assets that we have. Some of the recommendations that we would begin with is continuing on the phase 2 planning for the public works. You own the land, the general idea of consolidating these things is a good financial decision. If half the funding is already there through utilities, the question will be is how do we get the other half of the funding, which is mainly for the streets department to move there. If you haven't been, we'd love to give you a tour of the fleet and facility building. I think the staff are very excited about the investments you've made. And with that additional space, there's lots of good partnerships. We've talked about Puget Sound Regional Fire Authority as a partner to take care of fire facilities, King County Metro as a Vactor waste site, and our police evidence storage for vehicles are things that we can all do on that site because you gave them a great site with lots of extra space. Some of the additional things is looking at the City Hall 6300 building. These are the ones that we do need direction from council where we want to go on those. The last direction we had back in 2015 was after the public safety plan was done, was thinking that 6300, because of HVAC and other improvements, probably the best idea is to update, is to not invest in this building long-term, but invest in City Hall and then either demolish or sell this building or keep this as an asset later on. But that needs future planning on can we fit all of our staff into City Hall, especially COVID has really upended how we think about work and space. And I would say common sense would tell us that we probably need less space and probably more flexible spaces, and could we fit in within the current envelope of City Hall. And then on fire stations, there still is a need for fire station 53 and 54. The recommendation here is that we are in discussions for a contract for service and future annexation. That would be probably something that the future annexed with Puget Sound, that they would be working with us on as partners. And then the last is the proposed teen and senior project. We need council direction about how you'd like us to proceed on that. Attached is the seismic update. Really not many surprises in the seismic updates from the 2008. These buildings haven't gotten better since 2008. What they did do is do some updated cost estimates. They confirmed that there's still significant costs in all our buildings in City Hall and in 6300, and they've kind of inflated them about what year, if we were to do those improvements, when they could be done. The other thing is that the teen and senior center, there are some new updated numbers, some significant numbers, if you wanted to bring that up to seismic standards. And a lot of it is because of new seismic updates for liquefaction under the teen and senior center. On paper, it is seen as a shelter in an emergency, and that's probably not a good idea for the teen and senior center, is that for a high earthquake, that probably wouldn't be the best place. And also there's a concern about, is there a better place in an emergency, where would we have our shelter? That's something that we need to do better planning on.
When you say teen and senior center, are you talking about the future one? Or
I started with the teen.
He's talking about community center.
Okay, that's what I thought. Well, that's where they are.
And yeah. The Tukwila community, I started with the Tuck, the T.
Yeah,
sorry. Tukwila Community Center. The Tukwila Community Center in Allentown is, since new studies have shown us that liquefaction is a difficulty, that building was not built to deal with liquefaction. And a lot of the cost estimates is that you basically need to do a lot of, I'm not an engineer, but there's a lot of cost to make it more sustainable after an earthquake.
Which makes me want to say, I want to reflect back on our emergency plan, because I know that's where we said we'd set up all the police and the fire, where they would set up all the command centers. And I could never understand why they would put it down in Allentown.
Right. So I think now with the council and community's investment, that is exactly why we built the emergency operations center at the Justice Center. That is the location.
Yeah.
And you built two new fire stations. And I just want to be clear, is that if you go back to that 2015 essential facilities, you've dealt with four facilities since then. Mm-hmm. That's a major investment. You have fire station 52 and 51 are built to withstand a major earthquake. They're built at the essential to immediate occupancy, as well as the Justice Center, the police, and the Emergency Operations Center is built. And we did not have that investment before in our old Emergency Operations Center. And then our Public Works building with the council's approval of additional funding, that was built to a higher seismic standard as well.
But they're kind of sitting down in the middle of liquefaction as well.
That
right
could
beside
be
that river, that's exactly what they'll be.
That could be the case. Yeah. As I know that the building itself is built to a higher seismic standard. So.
Okay.
So the question for this, really this was meant to be a couple meetings probably at finance and see where the council would like, is we are beginning the 23-24 budget process and looking to see how do we continue, invest, and maintain our facilities for the future. And that's where we kind of are looking for the council direction. One recommendation is that essential facilities that we did back in 2013-2015 led us to the next year, 8 year of investments. One recommendation is that we may need to focus again on some of our facilities like that to give us the next 10-year investment, or to at least understand this campus. How would you like us best to use this campus into the future? And with that, I'll take any questions you might have.
Questions?
So for me, it would be easiest to say from last study to this study, how much change?
Mm.
I think you just sweepingly said they all got worse, which is something. But they all had ratings and mm-hmm. told us which ones were more urgent than the others. And even though all the scoring numbers were really close together, the significance when the consultants spoke with us was very real.
Mm-hmm.
The second question I have is 6300 building was considered the worst after the public works. And we've been enhancing the interiors in the last 5 years. And I've had a question mark in my head all along going, why are we keep putting new materials into a building that we know when we purchased it was the weakest link up here on the campus? Has the studies made it feel different somehow?
So that first question, what has changed since the last ratings? That's a great question, and we can ask our consultant, or if the committee here or the council would like, Reed Middleton is available, and you can ask the consultant. She's more than willing to come and talk to all of you and give her professional expertise. There was one difference in the study was, as you read through their different reports, there's different standards. And the 2008 was looking only at the buildings for immediate occupancy, which is the highest standard. This one, we asked them to look at life safety, which is a lower standard, which for essential facilities like police and fire, you want at immediate occupancy. But for administrative buildings like City Hall, you may only want life safety.
Life safety was the same status you gave the PW before we asked you to upgrade it. But
yeah.
There's a description that says you probably need to evacuate the building and you might make it out. Whereas we said build it up so that our employees were protected within the building.
Mm-hmm. You did.
So how many of the buildings that we have now are at the life quote safety level? Which ones and how many aren't? Like how many are better?
I don't know that. I don't know if they will go with that conversation. So we'd have to go through, I'll have to go back and look at all the buildings that we have. The difficulty, at least as I understand, I'm not the engineer, but this is something also, is it is harder to look at older buildings and give us a rating on what they look like. Most need certain standards, and that's what this 2022 step told us.
City Hall actually has some retrofits in it. You can see all the bracing in the on the beams. So there has been something done in the past.
I'm not familiar with all the
70s or 80s.
Okay. I'm not familiar with that.
I have a suggestion, since this is the first time that this has come to the meeting. You said we'll have multiple touch points.
Yeah.
I think I haven't heard anything yet. I mean, I guess I would also defer to customer events. If I've heard anything related to the question, I'd rather have them be comprehensive responses and not off the cuff.
Okay.
And then here's the other thing. There's a lot of intentional understanding of this process that a lot more of the, well, two members of the council need to be familiar with. So if we do it intentionally, then we can get a shared understanding, because we went through it, we kind of know the nuances, we know the business starts versus where we wanted to arrive at as a council. And so just thinking about basically being intentional about it, and then also with the eye of people understand, absorbing the information as they should, because, you know, if we bring our kind of institutional knowledge, sometimes some things get missed, and there needs to be an appreciation of the safety in it. And I think
I think that's where I was headed, contextually. Where were we? Where are we?
Yeah.
And we're using language all throughout the executive summary from the consultant that says life safety versus occupation. So, like, where's a good chart that says, here's where we were, here's what we've done, here's what seems to need attention more than others in whatever priority the consultant who's looked at a lot of stuff, whether it's hard to judge or not. And I see major bracketing on the beams inside the chamber, so I know retrofit has been done. The question is this one, and why don't we have it? Does that meet anywhere near today's standards? Was that, because what I recall from the last study was that if we want to keep City Hall where it is and not relocate it, that we have to do some more retrofit. And that's really in this executive summary, so that's why I'm trying to give you, contextually.
And I did not disagree. Okay. I was supporting your statement and acknowledging that we know this stuff really well,
right,
and other council members need to know it really well before we even tee it up or go to a place based on how it's written, thinking somehow there needs to be a decision right now, which is why I'm saying go slow so that folks understand what the considerations are. And then it also leaves some space for the change in work. None of that was considered in here. It's not even written that way. Sorry to jump you, but if I can, I think the other consideration is this. We put some stuff off, but we took a big chunk financially on this stuff. And the question is, does it make sense to take a big chunk now or wait a little bit, right? And that can only be identified if having kind of an updated assessment of where we are and give space for council, new council members to understand what the need is. Because it was some things are similar now, but some things are completely different now. So, and then there's a blanket assessment of shelter. In this extreme heat that's going to come, the community center is perfect for a cooling center. And so it may meet some criteria and absolutely not meet other criteria. So if we are doing the broad brush, let's make sure that we have those nuances there before we kind of make broad decisions. So
are we in fact offering it as a cooling center? Because all the things I put out didn't mention anything.
We are not offering our Kipola Community Center as a cooling center right now.
I just want to make sure if there's people paying attention that we're not including it.
And the reason why we wouldn't with this extreme situation.
So I want to make sure it's comprehensive, so let me get from Mindy Matson, who's been working on that before I speak.
All right.
But the key thing is that King County is coordinating this response, and it's actually on there's a red ribbon on our website that directs you to King County and showing each community's where they're directing people. And the first place that they say, the very first line, is our malls. Are built for Westfield Mall. It's listed right there in the first sentence.
Libraries, but they don't name our library, which is weird. Built building, right? And then they talk all the community centers around us except ours, which made me wonder what was going on.
Those are really great points.
That's
for sure. And
for tonight's meeting, it's not off track. I didn't touch into this. So
let me listen.
It was really helpful to hear just, you know, your guys' historical knowledge of having gone through the first study and wanting to see from what we did there. You know, we did some big projects. You might have invested in some smaller things, but where are we now? My understanding of reading this is that staff is making a recommendation on how do we move forward. A lot of these things will be included in the budget that we'll be considering, right? Like we're sort of prepping for, here are some possible facilities updates that will be included in the budget. Is this not going to hit budget season?
This is the beginning of the conversation. Is in August, what is on the schedule right now is in August, we will be talking about public workshop phase two, the operations and administration building for council direction. And so that's what we'll be asking for direction for that planning process.
This is prepping for that.
This is one piece. The second piece is a new idea that's in that recommendation right there. Is do you want in this next budget cycle to begin planning? And that would be authorizing money to do that planning effort. That's what's being asked.
I mean, after reading it, it seems reasonable to me. I like the suggestions of what additional to include. It doesn't sound like we're not making decisions today. Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, it sounds reasonable to me right now. And I'm just thinking, okay, well there's a lot of things that we have to weigh during the budget process. Teen and Senior Center project. It's not in this, and maybe it doesn't need to be in this, but I remember there being an amount of money that the legislature gave to us for this project. And my concern is just that we're aware of how much that is, you know, whether it's enough to move on to that second phase, and the restrictions on that funding. So when does it end? Because I wouldn't want us to lose to lose that money. But those are my only comments.
And so I just want to make sure we're comfortable with the questions that I thought that Councilmember Curler outlined, which just makes so much sense. And then I'll just throw out, we didn't do it at first blush. We didn't make investments at first blush. As a matter of fact, if you remember, we were facing a significant recession. And so what we did was, in the off year, really gave our focused attention on trying to address the problem, because I think we felt when it was originally articulated, it felt like a lot of pressure. And so we put a stop to that, slowed it down, and then we intentionally went through piece by piece. I could assume that we would probably get there, but I think we should put it on our agenda as proposed. And as Councilmember De Los Santos Johnson said, there's a lot of considerations right now. And what we don't want to do is have the appearance that we're prioritizing one thing over the other. This is on that list, and there are significant safety-related issues, but that's going to also join the rest of the stuff that we have to consider.
I have a quick question about phase two. We've moved everybody out of the George Long, correct?
Correct.
Are we moving anybody from Minkler over to the current shop that you have?
No.
Do you have any space for that if you had to?
It has not been planned that anyone from Minkler would come into that shop.
But you do have like the soils areas and stuff that could be relocated if they had to.
I don't know that.
Okay.
It's planned for soils, which is the Long Acre site.
Yeah.
Okay. We move that there. Yeah.
Okay. Any other questions?
I have one question. I'm assuming that some of the sales of some of the properties that were vacated, that are vacated, are going to be in the budget as like revenue for the next year? Like, is that... Can't remember whether sale of shops is included in the budget as a revenue source.
It is, but it's part of the public safety plan.
Okay.
So it's not general fund, it's dedicated to this.
Okay. Got it.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
So we have the next item. And thank you for this presentation. And I think I'll reference it in the council meeting like we usually do. Encourage, and I know we're going to have multiple touch points in it. I think for us to make this kind of investment, I think we were able to bring some principles to the totality of this work, and we were able to kind of have some, you know, things that motivated us, safety, all these things, and I think we have an opportunity to reinforce those in the intentional process over the time. Okay.
I have one more question. In all of this, is this strictly talking about our buildings and their measurements? Is there any benchmarking against other buildings, other cities? Are we ranking low, medium, or high compared to 37 other cities that are bigger or smaller than us in terms of where we're at?
I don't know. That's a good question.
To figure out where we are in terms of the averages.
Yeah.
And I think it could be a little wash too. As old as we are, there are some cities that aren't as old and that made investments earlier in a different way. You know, and then there's like a bottle.
Right.
We had to do the whole thing over again. And so maybe getting maybe not a full benchmarking, but some scenarios for us to look at with the similarities and the challenges, because I know it's a wash, and it depends also on the political environment, because that takes some city councils.
But if I were to talk to say Teamsters and say across the cities that you represent, which protect your employees the most and which do not, I bet there'd be a way in really quick on that. So we might want to know ourselves where we sit in
it. I'm not against that, but there are other considerations that would also inform that too.
Right.
Because as old as we are, we got some obligations that none of us were around when they were made, and we got to fix it. And so that's
sure.
Part of it is just how do we invest over time?
But I want to make sure that doesn't erase the question.
I don't think that's a reason.
Okay. All right.
Okay, so thank you for letting me walk on a miscellaneous item. Given that we are in unprecedented times with inflation and the cost of living, I thought it was important to start this conversation earlier rather than later. So I'm going to pass out a memo that I put together. It's very high level at this point. There's a lot of information in here, and I'm not going to go through the entire memo, but I am going to call out some of the highlights. And really, this is just to get the conversation started and kind of get your questions and what you'd like to see, because I figure this is the beginning of a conversation, especially since this is just a miscellaneous walk-on item. Have a good discussion tonight, and then we'll formalize the conversation at the next finance and governance meeting. So with that, on the first page, I just wanted to remind everyone what the Consumer Price Index is. So it measures the average change in prices over time that consumers pay for goods and services. And it's a fixed set of products and services, and the prices are evaluated on a regular basis, and it's used to track what's called inflation. Some of the items that are tracked include basic food items like cereal, milk, and coffee, as well as housing costs, furniture, clothing, transportation, medical care. So all of those things that most of us use on a regular basis. They're tracked to reflect the spending habits of two population groups. So it includes the urban wage earners and the clerical workers. And these two groups represent about 93% of the total U.S. population. There's a couple populations that are not tracked, and those are the people living in rural and agricultural households, and military and people living in institutions such as prisons. CPI is the average change, which means that some goods and services show a year-over-year increase above CPI, and others are a lower increase. So that's the average increase. I do want to let you know that on July 13th, we were notified that CPI for our labor contracts is 9.5%. You might remember that a few weeks ago, I came before this committee and council, and at that point it was 8%, and we said it could be higher, it could be lower. We were certainly hoping it would be closer to that 8%, but it is in fact 9.5%. The last time CPI was this high was back in 1981. And so we provided some information just kind of comparing what's going on in today's world with inflation and what was going on back in 1980s when this was happening. And I will say, I just want to put up front that I really wanted to provide some good comparative data for what was going on in Tukwila, or at least King County. And what I discovered, unfortunately, is back in the early 1980s, they weren't really tracking information specific to Tukwila, and in many cases, not even for King County. So it's been very, very difficult to find that comparative data. We're going to keep digging because it may be out there somewhere, but today we've been really struggling to find it. What I've provided on the top of page 2 is a chart showing a 12-month change, so June 2021 to June 2022. These are selected categories, but it shows you some major categories and the year-over-year change. And you'll see the biggest changes is 70% for fuel oils, 60% for motor fuel. We're all affected by that. The cars we drive, city vehicles, et cetera. Our utilities with natural gas and electricity have also had significant increases. And on down to recreation services, which has the lowest year-over-year change of only 4.7%.
What are recreation services?
Those are like going to the Y, playing tennis.
Yeah.
Swimming, it's recreational type activities. But you can see that just in a 12-month period, there's been some pretty significant changes in things that people use on a regular basis, not only from a residential perspective, but also from a city perspective. I put some information, I'm not going to go through this chart right here because you can read this at your leisure, but I put in a conversation that talks about the drivers of inflation comparing the 1980s to what's going on now. There's some really interesting comparisons between what was going on 40 years ago and what's going on now. There's a lot of similarities. There's a few differences. Again, I'll let you read that at your leisure. But I want to talk about on the page 4 of the memo, comparing inflation now to 1980. I thought this was an interesting statistic. The two highest periods of United States inflation since the Civil War occurred in the early 1980s and now. The negative economic effects, obviously, for Washington State residents, businesses, et cetera, are significant, including for governments. The leading inflationary factors are similar to 1980 as they are for 2022, but there's some historical significance in policymaker methodologies leading up to make some differences between the two periods. I put some information here on cost of living. So back in 1981, it was, let me start this part over, sorry. So I want to say that CPI, we've always had inflation, right? When it was very, very high in 1981, since 1981 until now, the average inflation rate has been just under 3%. So we always have inflation, right? But it's been much, much lower these last number of years. But to put it in perspective, what you could purchase for a dollar in 1981 will cost you $3.26 in today's dollars. So that's just a little comparison as to what. And then there's a chart on the bottom of page 4 that kind of shows what CPI has been. This is non-adjusted seasonal information. Based off of the CPIW urban wage earners and clerical workers. And it goes back to 1960 all the way up to 2020. So you can see that there's always been inflation, but you can see where the two big peaks have been. On page 5 of the memo, I did provide some information specific to Tukwila. When they calculate cost of living on a national average, the cost of living is 100. And then they compare cities to see how you benchmark against that 100%. And for Tukwila, we are actually above the national average. So we benchmark in overall 125 to 100. So a lot of things are more expensive. However, interesting enough, at least for Tukwila, healthcare costs and utilities are below the national average. Some demographics that I really wanted to talk about on the bottom of page 5 and the top of page 6 I thought were really interesting, because the Tukwila of today is very different than the Tukwila back in 1981. We have had a significant increase in population. Total population has grown 532% between 1980 and 2022, and it significantly exceeds King County's growth at that same period. In that same period, King County only grew 79%, which is still pretty significant. In the period of April 2021 to April 2022, our population growth was the third highest in the state at just under 3%. We were behind Black Diamond and North Bend. And while we can't find projections specific to Tukwila, Tukwila's population is expected to grow significantly in the coming years to match the growth in King County. And what this translates into is more people, more demand for city services. And I provided a couple charts just to show you how the population has grown in King County and City of Tukwila. And then there's a chart on the bottom of page 6 that talks about the population characteristics comparing to 1980 to 2021. You can see the median age, we're a little bit older, not a lot older, 29.2 versus 36 in age. Total number of households back in 1980 was just over 1,800. In 2021, it was 7,300. The 303% increase in number of households, and the number of people in the household have also increased. And then the last piece I just wanted to point out are the effects of inflation, because everyone is affected by inflation. Some of the effects are positive, most of them are negative, but one of the biggest negatives obviously is purchasing power is reduced. So for governments, this means that increased costs for providing services and to pay for capital projects. It inflates interest rates, which means borrowing becomes more expensive. So even though we have a very high bond rating, we still are affected by that. So if we issue debt for 20 years, that annual debt service is gonna cost more every year. And the economic inequality has increased as well. Obviously the lower wage earners are impacted the most by inflation. It increases the cost of living for everyone. But on a positive side, it does stimulate short-term growth. And it increases asset prices, so as businesses buy assets, it increases their balance sheet, and it downsizes effective debt because people are less willing to take out debt at higher interest rate costs, but it also lowers currency valuation. So this is the information I've gathered, again, just to start the conversation. When I hear your discussion and questions you have, so we can go through this and make a more robust discussion at the next committee meeting.
Okay. So questions next time?
Yes.
Okay. So good.
Yeah, questions, comments? It's a lot of information.
Yeah. Good information.
Mm-hmm.
Very detailed information. And, you know, maybe it's even a more complete picture than maybe in the past on the significance of CPI, what it's related to. But also, if you think about whether it's the suburbanization of poverty or the, you know, the effect of having low interest rates is in a time when people can't be mobile and move somewhere else, the supply gets taken up. And so those folks that are renting or trying to maintain affordability, it's just exacerbating the problem. So this is good information. And I will encourage, as I've often done, the rest of the council to do a deep dive here. So, great. Thank you. I think we're going to, this generation or this council is going to get even more familiar with CPI impacts and really the overall economy because it's such a significant impact to what we do. 9.5. All right. Anything else?
I think so.
All right. Thank you all. Appreciate
it. Thank you.
So this will, let me ask, it's not even a question, but because this will continue to be added to as
yes.
far as background information for all of us. So it could grow based on information that is presented. And then obviously more about it, like us, will come through the budget and the legislation, labor conversations.
Yes, absolutely. And I would encourage you, as you read through this information, if it sparks specific questions and there's other data points that you'd like, please let us know because we're happy to do the research. Again, it's been tough finding information specific to Tukwila back in the 1980s, but we're happy to do whatever research and make this as informative as possible. So I encourage you to send us your questions and comments so we can continue to add to this in an informative way.
Since this is a walk-on item, are you going to make it available electronically for the rest of the council to look at?
We can do that, yes.
Yeah.
I actually think it's come up so much in the community as a whole in other spaces. You might want to just send it out as a separate item. It's come up a lot.
Yeah.
And it's going to have a significant impact on our budget deliberation.
Yep.
So this may be a walk-on special item, but I also think it should be an email special item.
I'm good with that. I just want to make sure that if they are following our agendas and things and packets, they couldn't have this information.
Correct.
If you want to send it out direct, that's fine too.
Cool. All right.
Yes, I will definitely do that.
All right. Thank you.